Well, praise the Lord. This is our help. Amen. You know, I was just thinking of those words. Jesus has changed my whole life. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. You know, you tie a knot real nice and pretty, and you throw on a suit, throw some gel in your hair, and oh, man, that guy looks like he's a professional up there, you know, and you don't know who I used to be. And you're looking at a former addict, you know. Drugs, alcohol, gambling addiction. Had a finger pull away from taking my own life, you know. And Jesus literally, when I was introduced to him, changed everything. I mean, I was so messed up and so hooked on different things and just being addicted and struggling in life and depressed. And man, he just took everything and changed me. And I'll tell you what, he wants to do that for you. Amen. I know there's some of us, we need some help. Amen. We need deliverance. We need answers. And Jesus is doesn't play favorites, is what I'm trying to say. He loves us all. Praise God. So let's get our help this morning. Let's believe God. And you know, you didn't come here to hear from me. You came to hear from heaven. So let's believe God for utterance. And let's believe him that when I open my mouth, he's going to fill it with the right words. Amen. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful. So thankful to be in your church, to be in your house. Father, gathered around your word. Father, the Bible says that the word is like a light and a lamp to our feet and our path. It's like a spiritual GPS. Tells us where we need to go. Tells us what to stay away from. Tells us how to get into things, how to get out of things. And we thank you for your word. Your word is our help. Your word is our answer. So, Father, as I minister your word this morning, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, may I speak words from heaven this morning. And, Lord, this is what we're asking. And I know you'll do it because you're faithful. Father, there are many people here that come in with different situations and different circumstances and different seasons in their life, and they need to hear something specific. Well, Father, I don't know what in the world people would need to hear, but you do. So I think you're going to say something through me that's going to strike a bullseye in their heart. And it'll be so supernatural to think, how in the world did he know I needed to hear that? But Father, we don't look to me. We're not trying to glorify a man. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach today a sermon that during the time of the quarantine when we weren't able to come to church, I can't tell you how strongly the Holy Spirit, when I would pray and meditate, impressed upon me that when we got back together, it was something that I was going to need to share to people, that we weren't going to wait long. I didn't know when it was going to come. I had no idea it would be on Father's Day. It does fit with one of the things we're looking at, but I just know or knew back then that we have to stress this to people. We have to be a help to people. Church is where we get our help. And so we're just going to follow the leading of the Spirit, and it's what I'm released to preach on this morning, but it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be an eye-opener to us. Amen. The body of Christ needs a wake-up call. Yes. Amen? Amen? The body of Christ needs a wake-up call. But go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 is where we're going to start. Okay. The Bible says here, we know this verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the Bible says, and you know, on Father's Day, we ought to be pleasing to our Father. Amen. We ought to want that. I've always, since I've been a little boy, had a tender heart towards him. Didn't know much about him, but I knew he was real, and I just wanted to please him, you know, and have I always hit the mark? No, but he's been merciful to me and kind, and my heart is to please him. And the Bible says we can't please him without faith. Do you see that there? Now, yeah, he, you know, as a dad, you know, I always, God uses natural illustrations or examples to illustrate spiritual truths. And, you know, I think of myself as a dad, Caleb and Abby here, and it feels good and it's nice to know my kids believe me and trust me, right? That's good. But more than that, I want them to believe me and trust me and have faith in me, because if they do, it benefits their life. The Father knows why it's pleasing to Him for you to have faith, because faith means you believe Him. You have faith in what He's saying. You have faith in what the Word says above the natural circumstances. And He knows, if I can get my kids to believe me, if I can get my kids to have faith, they're going to walk into good things, praise God. And your Father wants you to walk into good things. You know, as a dad, we're always doing fun things, and I think about some of the things that my kids enjoy doing. And some of these things, they were apprehensive at first, fearful, maybe shy and timid, but because they trusted me and because they listened to me, they did what I said to do, and then they walked in and experienced it. I'll give you an example. My kids love to shoot guns. Guns! That's what we're doing at our house. Little Abby, pow! She's going to be deer hunting with me this year. You can go when you're 7 in Pennsylvania. Praise the Lord for Pennsylvania. I love Pennsylvania. She's going to be going. We got her a gun. I think it might knock her over, but that's okay. She'll be ready. We've been practicing. And anyways, but at first when they went to shoot guns, very timid, very shy, don't want to hold it. Loud noise, you know. And I just kept stressing them. Oh, no, you're going to love this. You're going to love it. And now they always want to shoot. I think about swimming as a great example, you know, and getting them to trust me, to jump in, to take their floaties off, to you'll be able to be more free in the pool, you'll be able to do more. And it took them to trust me, but because they trusted my voice and listened to me, they did it, and they walked into things. And the Father wants us to walk into things, but we can't get into some things without faith. Now, I said this in the first service, don't get depressed in the beginning of this message. Remember the Bible says in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are going to feel like Pastor Mike is taking you on a road trip to the valley of the shadow of death. But the Bible says we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not going to camp out there. And on the other side of that valley of the shadow of death is victory, is our help. And so don't get discouraged. It is necessary, and we need to sound the alarm on some things. But let's start in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. So we see the Bible says that we to please God, we must walk by faith. This is going to be an eye-opening message for people, because the body of Christ needs their cages rattled. Amen. It's the truth. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Now, here we go. This is going to help some people here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world. Now most people, I know because I came from churches, a lot of you came from churches like this. When they talk about the God of the world, they say that God is the God of this world, right? And they say that whatever's going on down here, God is in control. Well, if God is in control, He needs to go back to control school and retake His tests, because He's failing. If God is in control, when I'm in control of my vehicle and the steering wheel, I can turn it left, I can turn it right, I can slow down, I can stop, because I'm in control. If God is in control, that means He's coordinating coronavirus, He's coordinating all the looting and the rioting, all the murders, all the nasty things that happen on planet Earth. If God is the puppet master, that's what it means to be in control. But the Bible says there is a God of this world. But notice that God is not capitalized. It defines exactly who the God of this world is, and it'll help you understand things. So many people wonder, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Because there's a God of this world, and He's nasty. And your Heavenly Father has nothing in common with Him.
That's right.
Who is the God of this world? Well, it tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So it says that one of the characteristics of the God of this world is he blinds unbelievers' minds from receiving Jesus. Well, I find it funny that God would send Jesus to die for the whole world and then blind them from receiving Jesus. God is not out blinding people because he's not the God of this world. And maybe that totally upends your theology, but if you would stick around this long enough, we'll teach you that back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, what did he say? Behold, I give you authority. Behold, I give you dominion. Listen, if I give somebody the title to my vehicle and the keys, what they do with it is up to them. God gave planet Earth over to Adam and Eve. You go back and look at Genesis 1:26. He said, I give you dominion. You rule over everything on the earth. Well, what did Adam and Eve do? Handed it over to the devil. In Genesis chapter 3, they did. And you know what happened from Genesis chapter 3? From before Genesis chapter 3, there was no death in the world. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no evil and murder and hatred and all that stuff. But once sin entered, by one man's offense, the Bible says, Romans 5:17, death reigned. What does it mean to reign? Take charge. To be in control. So there's a God of this world, and the God of this world is not Jesus. It's not your father. Your father's not orchestrating all this nasty mess. Go to, if you pull up John 10 and verse 10, Heather, real quick. It's amazing. Sometimes in services, you skip over things, and now I have such a check in my heart that we need to look at this verse, and I didn't look at it in the other two verses. So somebody needs their mind renewed to this. Jesus said the thief comes, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at the definition of the thief. Look at what the resume of the thief is. Stealing, killing, and destroying. But Jesus said, I have come. He says, don't confuse me with the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer. But how many Christians are confusing God as the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer? I mean, they give God credit for everything that goes on in this world. Well, God's in control. Well, God had a reason for that. I remember years ago there was a shooting in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at an Amish schoolhouse. And horrible tragedy. And I was listening to a Christian radio station. And the guy got on there and said, we don't understand, we can't figure it out, but God had a reason for doing this. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. People are confused about who God is. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. We don't see Jesus killing. We don't see Jesus destroying. We don't see Jesus stealing. We see Jesus healing, blessing, being kind, being generous, providing, delivering. And Jesus said, there's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. Who's the thief? The devil. But then he said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, don't confuse me with the thief. Well, let me ask you a question. In 2020, it's been an interesting year, have we seen stealing, killing, and destroying? I mean, it's like that's the theme of 2020 so far. Stealing, killing, destroying. But remember what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. That there's a God of this world. What's the God of the world mean? The one who's actually in control. What is the one that actually in control? His resume? Stealing, killing, and destroying. The devil has every legal right by the Bible to do what he does on planet Earth. It's up to the Christian to use the authority over the enemy and not let him run rampant in our own personal lives, but also as a whole in the body of Christ and in our nation. But we have seen stealing, killing, and destroying taking place in 2020, things we've never seen in our lifetime. A worldwide pandemic that shut down planet Earth for a while. We've never seen anything like that. Stealing, killing, and destroying. Now go with me to John 16:33. We're getting somewhere. Again, We're starting to enter the valley of the shadow of death, so don't get scared. We're going to make it out, praise God. John 16:33. I'll tell you what, this sermon today will change your life. If you'll be a hearer and doer of it. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you'll have peace." Look at what comes from him, peace. But he says, in the where? World. Well, where are we right now? We're in the world. And guess what's in the world? There's a God of this world. And guess what that God of this world's resume is? Stealing, killing, and destroying. So he said, in me you'll have peace. But in the world, that's what? Run by an enemy that steals, kills, and destroys. He said, you will have tribulation, tests, adversities, trials. Well, why would you have tests and adversities? Because you live in a world. I almost said, you live in a van down by the river. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just stay ignorant. But when I started to say that, my inner Chris Farley came out. But you live not in a van down by the river, but you live in a world run by the devil. Amen. And Jesus said, because of that, you'll have tribulation. Now, don't forget this either. The Bible says that they that love darkness hate the light. The devil is the epitome of darkness. And guess what you're called in the Bible? The light of the what? World. You know why? Because you're a Christian. And when you're not a Christian, you walk in darkness spiritually. When you become a Christian, the Bible says you've been translated from the power of darkness, Colossians chapter 1, and translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus. But the whole world that's not born again still spiritually is sitting in darkness, and the devil is nothing but spiritual darkness. And you, as a Christian, stand out like a sore thumb in this world. Spiritually, you're the light of the world. If we shut all the lights off and taped up all the cracks so you could see no light at all, and we lit a match, all eyeballs would go to that match. It would stand out like a sore thumb. You stand out like a sore thumb. And not only do you stand out, the devil hates light. He hates the light. So guess who he hates? You. Sorry to break the news to you. If you're one of those people that need everybody to like you, you're in trouble, because the devil's never going to like you. He's never going to like you. He hates you, wants you destroyed. He's not just the cute little devil in the little costume that little kids wear around, and the pointy ears and the pointy tail and the pitchfork. No, he wants to mess you up. He wants to steal from you, destroy from you, and kill you any way that he can. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for the good news, Pastor Mike. You're welcome. We are going to face tests and trials in this world. Now, I want to say this, and this is where we're going to get into some things. If this 2020 has not been a wake-up call to you personally, I don't know what it would take for somebody to finally realize, wow, things can get real serious really fast, right? In an instant, we're locked in our homes. In an instant, you can't buy things you used to buy. In an instant, right? And then followed by all the stuff that's going on in all the big cities. If this doesn't show you to see a worldwide event that we've never seen, if that doesn't wake you up, then what I'm going to share with you today is going to wake you up. Now, not to discourage you or to make you feel down, but what we've seen so far is just the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see in the Word that Jesus tells us that we are headed into days that we are going to see some things and hear some things that are going to downright cause people to be fearful, and things we've never experienced and seen before. This is not the end. It's the beginning. Pastor, this is such doom and gloom. No, because at the end, we're going to show you there's no doom and gloom as a Christian. Amen. The world is lost and struggling. The born-again believer is not. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't care what the devil does here. The greater one is on the inside of me. 1 John 4 and verse 4 tells us that. Hallelujah. So this should have been a wake-up call. But you know what I found with people? I found with people that as time has gone on, that hunger and that fire to turn to God, you know, when there was mass hysteria at first, we were getting close to 1,000 views on Facebook for a service. Every week it kept going down and down. Because at first with the mass hysteria, when people were all afraid, I got to turn to God. He's my only hope. He's my only answer. I'm going to start going to church. I haven't been faithful in church. And then, you know, toilet paper starts showing back up. That makes us happy. The meat section at Wegmans, you can buy a burger again. You can go to a restaurant again. We can start coming back to church. And people start slipping back in. And that fire, it wanes off. But here, I'm here to tell you, there's coming days that we better not turn away and walk away from the things of God and the house of God. It's going to be our lifeline.
Amen.
Amen? So I want to show you today for your own self to be ready. And anybody that's watching out there, I hope you take this to heart because these are the words of Jesus. I'm not making these up. Go to Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. Luke 21 and verse 5. I mean, we are in the valley of the shadow of death now. We have got there. We're there. Get your tent out. Don't get your tent poles and your stakes out. Keep your shoes on. We're going through this thing. We're not camping out. Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. This is what Jesus says. Now again, don't get scared. Don't get doom and gloom. There's hope for us, and we'll get to it at the end. Luke 21 and verse 5, the disciples are talking, and as some of them spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he, or Jesus, said, "As for these things which you behold or see, the days will come," future tense, "in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that there shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, the disciples asked him, "Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things come to pass?" Now, I'm reading this version of it, but, you know, the Gospels, what's good about the Gospels, it's kind of like this. If you or I saw an accident and we had to report on it, we wouldn't write the exact same things. We would record something that the other person might have or vice versa. Well, that's what happened in the Gospels. A lot of times they recorded the same things, but a lot of times they included different things. Well, Matthew's version of this over in Matthew 24, of the same version, he details it even more of what the disciples asked Jesus. And his account was, they asked Jesus, "When will we know that you're going to return to earth? And when will we know when the end of the world will come?" So everything, and then Jesus is going to tell us, all these things will come to pass from now until the first event, which is Jesus coming back. Well, he spoke that 2,000 years ago. So there's a beginning when he spoke it, and he said, all stuff must happen in this timeline, and the end of it is when I come back. He hasn't come back yet. So we're in the stuff that he's talking about. And we're more in it than they ever were. We hopscotched 2,000 years from when he first said it, and he still hasn't returned yet. So it's getting closer and closer, and things are picking up. But look at how prophetic what your Jesus said is going to happen. Now, why am I telling you this? Because we see the coronavirus, and we see all the looting and all the things that's going on, and we're experiencing things we never have in this world. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to put your seatbelts on for the rest of what Jesus is about to say. Someone needs to tell people the truth. You know, when you go to the doctor and you get a horrible... Maybe you're diagnosed with cancer or something, and the doctor sees that, oh my gosh, I got to deliver that news. Well, that's not going to be fun to deliver that news, so you know what? I'm going to not tell them the truth. That's not a good doctor. This news isn't so much fun to deliver, but we need to hear it so we can get ready. You know why the doctor needs to tell that person as soon as possible? So they can start preparing and doing things they need to do to help themselves. Amen? So here we have this worldwide event, things going on, and you see people still falling away, not getting fired up for church. They think, oh, finally that is. No, 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 no. We're the generation that's going to see some things and experience some things Don't take my word for it. Let's see what Jesus said. So he says, all these things, verse 7, there will be when these things shall come to pass. He said, in Matthew 7, he said, or Matthew 24, he said, before I come back and before the end of the world, this is what's going to happen. He said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Has that happened on planet Earth? Oh, yeah. How do you think some major cults have been founded? People came and talked other people in that they were the Messiah. We've seen worldwide national things that have been big in the news of people that brought other people down proclaiming to be Jesus, and they bought into it. And he said it would happen. And then he said this, for many shall come in my name, say I am Christ, and that the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. But how many of you know, we've had ministers in the body of Christ that have prophesied dates. And guess what? They've all come and gone. Because no minister knows when Jesus is coming back. And any minister that claims to think they know the date, run from them as fast as you can. And Jesus said, people will be saying it. It's happened. But when you shall hear, now let's listen to how cheery things are going to be. Because if we don't get a wake-up call and realize, okay, you know what? We are literally going to see hell on earth. You know what's happening in the big cities and what we're seeing? We're seeing hell on earth. Evilness just overtaking and people being motivated to do things that are awful. We're going to see evil on earth. And Jesus, look at, he's going to describe it to us, and then we better know how to get ready for it. He said, when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be afraid, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Have we heard about some great earthquakes in our time? Yes. He said, great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines, and look at the next word, pestilences. You know what the Greek word for pestilences is? Plagues. Kind of sounds like the coronavirus. This isn't the only thing you're going to see, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you better get your faith in him and his healing and his power. Coronavirus, just the tip of the iceberg. And really, if you want to be truthful, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, just tell me the facts. The infection rate and the death rate in the world, it is so, so small. Not belittling it, because people have suffered and gone through it. But what I'm saying is there's things that are coming that are going to make the coronavirus look like a sniffle. Yeah. It's the truth. Jesus didn't say it's going to get better. It says, famines, pestilences, fearful sights. Things that are going to look terrifying. Wow. Great signs shall there be from heaven, but before all these things, they shall lay hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. We don't experience that much in our little small town, rural America, but there are people in the body of Christ that have had hands laid on them, not in a good way, put in prison and murdered for their faith. It's come to pass. Praise God. It says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now look at this. And you shall be betrayed. Oh, I've felt this personally. So many of you have as well. Betrayed by both parents, brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you, they shall cause to be put to death. What's happened to Christians? In verse 17, this is really nice. And you shall be hated. Hated by all men for my name's sake. Don't take it personal. It's Jesus' fault. You're his and you're light of the world. And the devil motivates people that aren't born again and they hate Christians. Well, we see it all the time. Well, let's keep going with this cheery message I've decided for Father's Day. But there shall not a hair of your head perish, and your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then you know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let them not that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now look at verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck. What's he saying? Woe unto the people that have little babies during this time and are nursing. That's going to be a hellish time for people. Ouch. It says, in those days there'll be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive, and all nations in Jerusalem shall be trodden down under the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And verse 25 says, and these there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Look at 26. Men's hearts literally failing them for fear. Why? For looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, everybody say then. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, 2020 has been a taste or a glimpse into this. And I was talking to one minister about this time, and he texted me and he said, how are you doing during our diet apocalypse? Because what's coming, this is going to be like the diet version of what we're going to see. What I just read is not a pretty picture. And the things we're going to see and experience, people's hearts literally failing them because they're so terrified. Frightening things. Wow. And Jesus said, all these things before I come back are what you're going to see. Well, we're in the generation that's waiting for him to come back. We already, with this coronavirus, have seen something we've never seen before. Right? And you can just tell, well, I'll go to this next verse, it'll help you to see this. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. It's a spirit, is what it is. Second Timothy 3 and verse 1. So Jesus talks about the future. Now Paul's going to talk about it. This know also that in the last days, now you say, well, last days, are we in the last days? We are dead set in the last days. So how do you know we're in the last days, Pastor Mike? Because the last days started 2,000 years ago at Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out and they were all saying, what in the world's going on? And Peter stood up and preached a sermon. He said, what you're seeing is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, God poured out his spirit upon all flesh 2,000 years ago, and Joel called that last days. We are 2,000 years advanced into the last days. Wow. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Listen to what the Amplified says. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Man, oh man. Now drop down. We don't need to read all the other verses. They're not good either, but I want to drop down to verse 13 for time's sake, or verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will, not might, will suffer persecution. Now look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you've watched the news lately and seen anything, we have seen pictures of evil men doing things. When I say men, I mean mankind, ladies included. People that are doing things to human beings that I cannot wrap my brain around how you could do something like that to another person. This comes to my mind, and it's a lot milder than losing your life. But I think of the businesses in these cities. People's livelihoods that have nothing to do with racism. They're good people, and they provide for their family, and their business is by means which they help their family. They're living, they put their life into it. and people come and burn them down and steal all their stuff and just absolutely wreak havoc on them in the name of whatever. What is that? Stealing, killing, and destroying. It's evil. And the Bible says in the last days, evil men are going to get worse and worse. I don't know about you, but it just seems like stuff was not this evil. When you were younger, were things this evil? It's why it's supposed to get worse and worse. The things that people do to one another, right? It's unbelievable. Why? It's evilness on the earth. And their justifications for it. They have no moral compass. They feel nothing. Why? The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 how the people that are not born again are affected by the spirit of disobedience. They're just going by the nature of their daddy. You are of your father, the devil, if you're not a Christian. And you do as he does. The devil loves this stuff. My goodness. So, I said all that to say this. Go with me to Luke 22 and verse 31. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking behind us and we're waving goodbye to the valley of the shadow of death. We're saying, we're leaving now. Thank you for the stay. The accommodations were horrible. The beds had bed bugs. There was no shampoo for me. I mean, the breakfast stunk. The eggs were cold. We're leaving Valley of Shadow of Death. We're going into the good places. Luke 22. So let's recap our time in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. We have seen that Satan is in control of planet Earth. It explains a lot, doesn't it? We have seen that we have to live here and that until Jesus comes back, what we see and experience in this world run by the devil is not going to get better. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get sweeter and nicer. Oh, yeah, just better roses. Nope. Jesus told us. So now what do we do about it? Well, let's get our answer. Luke 22, in verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, talking to Peter. He says, behold, Satan. Now, who's Satan? Stealer, killer, destroyer. Wants to mess him up. Satan has desired to have you. Well, that's not a date you want to go on. No. I'll pass. Okay, Jesus, Satan wants me. It's kind of like, you know, a friend tells a girl, you know, hey, I got somebody, boy, they'd like to go out with you. I'll pass. That's okay. They might want it, but I think I'll pass, you know. And the devil desires to have you, Peter. Why? That he may sift you as wheat. Now, verse 33 ought to wake every single one of you up. Because Peter was in the same world that we're in. Only we're in a time that's going to get worse and worse. And you are the light of the world, just like Peter was. And you have a target on your back, just like Peter did. And the devil wants to mess your body up, your finances up, your mind up, your kids up, your business up, your emotions up. He wants to mess your world up just like he did Peter. And Jesus said, well, we would think that Jesus would have the answer. Of course he would. He said, I have prayed for you, Peter. Now let's first look at the religious view of what Jesus would say. I have prayed for you, Peter, that God would do something about the devil. I have prayed for you, Peter, that the devil would knock it off. The devil doesn't have to knock it off. He's got every legal right to do what he's doing down here. But Jesus said, Peter, the devil wants you, and that's not good. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But the only way that I can assure that you're okay, Peter, the only thing I'm going to say and pray for you is that your faith, everybody say my faith. Your faith. If you don't get this, Jesus said, Peter, the only way you're okay is if your faith faileth not. Why does it please the Father in Hebrews 11:6 to have faith? Because it pleases the Father to keep the devil off our case. And Jesus said, the devil wants you, but if your faith, Peter, not your pastor's faith, not your granny's faith, not your friend's faith, your spouse's faith, Peter, your faith needs to to be in work, good working order. Wow, what a faith spotlight. Jesus just shines light right on faith. Out of all the things he could have said to keep the devil off our case. And remember, we're in a world that the devil is going to try to mess up, try to hinder, try to, if your faith faileth not, every single day I pray for the churches. And Father, I pray that each and every one of them that call me Pastor Mike, that look at me, I don't mean the title, I'm just saying look at me as their pastor. I said, I pray their faith would fail not, that they would stand perfect and complete in all your will. I pray it every day. Why? If Jesus prayed it, it's good enough for me to pray it. Hallelujah. But he says, Peter, the devil's after you, but don't worry, just make sure your faith's not failing. Well, Ephesians 6 and verse 16 sheds a little more light on this. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. You know who's behind sickness? It's not God. It's the devil. The root of sickness comes from him. You know who's behind poverty and lack and depression and fear and anxiety and worry? Not your father. The devil. Well, what is he going to try to get on your life? Depression, fear, anxiety, worry, poverty, sickness, disease, stress, overwhelmed, right? That's where it comes from. But Ephesians 6 and verse 16, why? Because we live in a world with a target on our backs. Now remember what Jesus said in Luke to Peter? He said, I'm putting something at the front of the line here. Just make sure your faith's not failing, Peter, and you'll be all right with that God of this world. Look what Paul says. Above all, what's that mean? Front of the line, top of the list, number one. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, what does the Bible say? Wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So when Jesus tells Peter, make sure your faith's not failing, what he's saying is, make sure your shield is up so everything the devil's firing at you will be quenched. You'll be fine. Paul says the same thing. If there's anything I can get you to do, he says, take the shield of faith. With that shield of faith, the devil can't get you. That's what it says. That's what it says. If you choose to leave here and not work on being skillful with your shield, or leave your shield at home and don't take your shield with you, and who's there? Hell, in the form of sickness, disease. Because if we think that it's just going to work out just because we go to church and we're faithful and God loves us, that's not how it works. The children of Israel loved God. They wanted to do God's will. God loved them. And what? They didn't walk in faith when adversity came, and they kept out of the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, missed out on their blessing. What about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5? Remember, she had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things, and many physicians grew nothing better, but rather grew worse, spent all that she had. The Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind for saying, if I can touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And what'd she do? She pressed through the crowd, touched his garment, and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. There's a multitude of people touched. He said, oh, no, no, no. Virtue or power went out of me with this touch. Everybody needed something that day. That's why they're touching him. That's why they're thronging after him, because he has what they need, and nobody's getting anything. They're touching him, and Jesus is just going about, like, just trying to get through. But someone else touches him, and he says, who touched me? And the disciple says, everybody's touching. He said, no, no, no. Somebody, this was different. He said, power went out of me. And then what happened? The woman got her healing, but what did Jesus say to her at the end? Daughter, thank your lucky stars I was in your town today. Nope. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, he says, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Your faith did this. Everybody was touching out of desperation and worry and fear. That wasn't faith. You know what triggers God's blessings in your life? Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It took your faith for God to flow his grace to you. Amen. Why is faith so important? Because you can't get God's power. It triggers God's power. Yeah, Remember blind Bartimaeus over there in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46? Sat by the highway side begging, crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And they told him, "Shut up, don't bother him." And he cried even louder. And Jesus called him to come over. And blind Bartimaeus threw off his blind cloak that he had that told people he was blind. And he went and stood before Jesus. Jesus says, "What will I have to do with you? What do you want?" And blind Bartimaeus said, "That I may receive my sight." And Jesus ministered to him and he got healed. You know what Jesus said? "Wow, I sure am powerful. Wow, I sure, good thing I'm here." No, Jesus said, "Your faith, blind Bartimaeus, made you whole." You see, what you have to realize is God's power is like electricity. If we turn the lights off in here, it doesn't mean that the power has been shut off. There's still electricity running through this building. If you were to bring someone back from the 1200s in here and turn the lights off in nighttime, it'd be dark in here, and they would think, well, or if you put them, say you put them in a lighted room, don't tell them how to turn on lights, put them in a lighted room, and they walk into this room that has the same kind of lights, but no one ever showed them you got to turn on the switch, they would think, well, that power's not working here. You know why it's not working for them? They don't know how to cooperate with the power. You see, God is always power. He's always ready, always willing, always able, but until you tap into the power, you say, "No, that can't be." Well, then why don't people, everybody just get saved? Because that's what God wants for everybody. But people don't get saved until they do what? Cooperate with the power. Believe and receive. By grace are you saved through your faith. Your salvation didn't come just by His grace. It flowed through your faith. Hallelujah. And Paul's saying, shield of faith. If you don't bring your shield of faith, guess what gets to you? The arrows. It's as clear as day. Go with me to 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. That was a whole bunch of utterance that wasn't even in the first two messages I preached there. Praise God. 1 John 5 and verse 4. I'm almost done here. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." Well, apparently we're going to have to overcome some things in the world. Well, we've just showed you why we're going to have to do that. We're children of God in a world run by the devil who wants to mess us up. There's going to be things to overcome. Well, the Bible says you can be an overcomer, but there is a stipulation here. You got to play by His rules. You can't play basketball with baseball rules. You'll get a foul. You can't play basketball with football rules. You grab the basketball and start running and say, you're playing the wrong game. That's a travel. Yeah. And so many people don't play by God's rules and cooperate, and they wonder, where's this power at? Why isn't it working for me? It's not Him. He said, you want to be an overcomer in the world? What's the world? Sickness, disease, depression, fear, anxiety, worry, all that fun stuff. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Here it is, your pastor's faith. The faith of Jesus. No, your faith. If you don't choose to operate in faith, you can't choose or expect to be in overcoming status. It's right there, as plain as day. Overcome means to overcome something hard. We see many men and women in the Bible that were mighty men and women of God that were in scenarios of hell on earth. And I'm going to read you just a few verses of them and show you what got them out of that hell on earth. You want to see them? Go to Hebrews 11, 29. What am I trying to tell you? That if you're experiencing things from the enemy like sickness and disease and poverty and depression and lack and fear and anxiety and all those non-fun things, faith is your answer. Amen. I have seen in my own life and being able to minister to people, I have seen faith change financial situations. I have seen faith change bodies. I have seen faith take the depressed and put them into the joy category. I have. Faith is an amazing, amazing power. I have a faith book that is about 100% done. It's been sitting on my computer forever. And just with everything going on in the past few years, I just have not had the time to sit down and really go through it like I need to. But in the beginning of that book, in the introduction, giving you a little inside look into the book, the Pastor Mike book club here, you know. And I went to Colorado on my student loan money when I was younger and a lot dumber. One time my student loan check, I bought a motorcycle. The other time my student loan check, I bought me and Pastor Tim a trip to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado for 2 weeks. Oh, man, I should tell you about the time we almost got arrested at Columbine High School. We were there on the anniversary the next day. We couldn't figure out all the news cameras were there. We were so dumb. We were going to be there the next day of the year anniversary, and we were just there exploring, and the police car came bombing across Columbine's baseball field and stopped and said, "Who are you and what are you doing?" It's a story, I'll tell you. The things him and I got into, oh my gosh. Oh, we're so dumb. It's like, what are we doing there? Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, Colorado. So we go to Colorado. Well, we hiking through the Rocky Mountain National Park. Both of us almost lost our lives because we didn't take into effect altitude sickness. We just went zoom up to 14,000-foot mountain, got up there, and Pastor Tim always says it this way. He says, "It was the one time in my life I just wish somebody would have killed me." It was the worst feeling. We just laid on top of the mountain. We're lucky we made it out. But I remember seeing these white-capped mountains for miles. And it was an experience of joy and excitement that I'd never had before and seen, but there was a little bit of sadness in me. Because I wanted everybody that I loved and cared about to be on that mountain with me, seeing what I was seeing. Because I knew what I was feeling. I'm like, there's no picture's gonna make them feel this, what I'm feeling. I mean, the vastness is amazing. That's the way I feel about faith. And that's what I wrote in the beginning of that book. Faith is a force that I've seen and experienced, and I want everybody in my churches, I want everybody that I care about, everybody I love, to walk into faith because it is amazing. Amen. It spares you from things, delivers you from things, gets you into things that you can't get into. And I want to show you here in the Bible the impossible, hell-like situations that faith delivered them out of. Hebrews 11, 29, if I ever get there and stop yapping. Hebrews 11, 29 says this. What are the first two words? By faith. Now remember what Jesus said about faith. Peter, stay in faith. Paul said, take the shield of faith, and you'll overcome the world by faith. Well, let's see it in action. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as onto dry land, which the Egyptians are saying or were pursuing to do to them were drowned. Now here's the thing. When they're in that situation, that's the people of God in a hell on earth situation. They just come out of slavery out of Egypt, and now they're being delivered, but they run into a problem. There's a body of water there. To my right's mountains, we can't go that way. To my left's mountains, and behind me is an Egyptian army trying to get us. And the Bible said in the midst of that hell on earth, how'd they get through? By faith. You know what the Red Sea represented? You know what's so cool about these different services, different utterance? We didn't say some of this stuff. Is the Red Sea represented no possibility. The Red Sea represented a dead end. Anybody feel like they're in a dead end in their life? Not going anywhere? No hope? No light at the end of the tunnel? No answer? No little string to even grab onto? That's what the Red Sea was. But you know how they passed through it? What's it say in the beginning of that verse? By faith. You know what by faith will do for you? Part the seas for you. Move the mountains for you. Praise God. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down after they were compassed about 7 days. Remember, Joshua came there. Moses is dead now after 40 years wandering the wilderness. Why didn't they get into the promised land before? Because of the walls of Jericho. Remember what they said? There's walls in these cities. There's people here. There's already armies. We can't have it. They're bigger than us. We're scared. Well, they come back 40 years. Joshua did at least because he believed. And the new generation. And the same walls are there. The same cities are already there. The same opposition is already there. But how'd they get by those walls? By faith. Amen. Anybody need some walls to come down in your life? Amen. I got the answer for you. By faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. For time's sake, you can look at that on your own. When she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Now look at this. What's the next three words? Who? Through faith. Look at this. Subdued kingdoms. Faith is a kingdom-subduing power. Amen. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Anybody feel like they're in a lion's den and the lions are just chomping at the bit at you? Faith will shut those mouths. Amen. 34, quenched, faith did this, the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Faith made them wax valiant in fight and turn flight the armies of the aliens, made them run from them. Faith did this. I encourage you to read all of Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the Faith Hall of Fame. All the people that talks about Abraham and Sarah and all these different people in the Bible that by faith did great things. Well, guess what faith will do for you? Great things. Tear down walls, shut the mouths of lions. When the pressure's bearing down on you and the fire's getting hot, deliver you from that. Get past a mountain and a sea that you can't get through on your own. Woohoo! When they say it's impossible, faith says, no, it's not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now you know why. For 10 years, I've been screaming my brains off at you. Faith, 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 faith. Well, the Lord told me when I was walking my dog Wrigley, she passed away in 2017, but when I was walking her in 2009, knowing I was starting the church in South Dayton, the Lord said, your ministry will major in the area of faith. And I know that my mandate personally is to preach on faith and get people into faith in their life. That's the main thing I do. Not going to apologize for it. I said it in the first service, like the one person, they're not with me anymore, they would get offended at me at every turn, and their life is hell on earth. I feel bad for them. I don't glory in that. But they just wouldn't listen to me, and I'm just telling them the word. And they got mad one day, and they said, Pastor Mike, all you preach about is faith. That's what they said to me. And I just answered them and said, well, first of all, that's not true. Go back on the archives. Every message is not a specific faith message. That's not true. The majority of our messages are, because I'm just obeying. Amen. I said, but if that's true, I said, you got a pretty darn good pastor.
That's right.
I said, because faith teaches you how to please God. Faith is how you get saved. I said, faith is how you overcome. Faith is how you quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. I said, faith is what Jesus said about Satan. I went through all the blessings of faith. Hebrews 6:12 says you receive the promises of God through faith. So if that's all I ever preach, you got a pretty good church.
Amen.
And I didn't say this in the first service, but I have a little tendency to get sarcastic. Actually, what I said is I said, forgive me, sarcastically. I'm so sorry that I'm teaching you how to please God. I'm so sorry that I'm teaching you how to overcome in the world and receive from him. The devil fights faith so much because it's the thing that he can't fight against. Wow, I need to close this down. We'll close at Mark 11:22. We'll close at Mark 11:22. See, the second service could be good or bad depending on how much you like the Bible. Because I don't have a second service coming in after this. Where the morning one, we have to shut down at some point because you're all going to come in and kick them out. But the second one, I don't have a cap on me. So you're either in trouble or you love this. But normally when we start at 10, sometimes we just finish at this time. So we're done here after this verse. But Mark 11:22. So what do I do, Pastor Mike? We've seen that faith is how we overcome. Do you know why Elijah was spared when God told him to go to the wilderness where there was no grocery stores? Where there was no job and income. You know why he was spared? Because he believed God. God told him, go over there. And Elijah could say, no, I want to stay where there's stores. I want to stay where my paycheck is. What's going to happen to people when there's no source of income? When their businesses and just like that go up in smoke? What's going to happen when there's no supplies to be bought at the stores? We saw a taste of it. People are either going to trust God and overcome like Elijah did, or we're going to cling to our fears and be left behind. So what's the first thing you need to do? Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. The first thing you do from this point forward to stay prepared and ready is build your faith in Him. Make Him so big in your eyes. When you realize who He is, your problems shrink. It's true. People at times fear other human beings, and they just don't realize, wait a minute, I got God on my side. That person's in trouble. I was saying, one of the services, I get them mixed up, but my kids have a huge view of who I am. Part of it is because, you know, I sow some things into them. You know, like when Caleb will say, Dad, how'd you do that? And I'll say, I'm your dad. I can do anything. So they've been told from early on that I can do anything. So that's what they believe. But the truth is, your Heavenly Father can do anything. Nothing's too hard for Him. Go back in the Bible and look at all the places where He showed Himself strong, where He revealed His nature and His characteristics, and get your faith big in your deliverer and your help. Amen? Amen? That's the first thing you do. Is your faith big in God? A lot of people's faith is big in their symptoms and their circumstances. God is bigger than all of them. Amen. So, what do we say? Faith, 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 faith. Faith. Work on your faith. Amen. What happens when Pastor Mikey was in school, that's me, and I was in school, and the teacher said, well, you know, there's a test coming, and they wouldn't tell you when, and they'd go through all the material. Ah, test. It's not going to be bad, you know. And then, bam, the test came. And Pastor Mike didn't take time to prepare, and he failed the test. There's a lot of people that should have had a wake-up call with this coronavirus and realize, whoa, my faith is not where it needed to be. That thing scared the living daylights out of me. It's true. I'm not belittling you or making fun of you or hurting. I'm just saying, if that was you, faith's not afraid. Wow, my income was cut. What in the heck am I going to do? That should show you, oh, your faith's not in God. It was in your paycheck. Amen. Let's get some wake-up calls. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we've been warned. There's more coming down the pipeline, that the only thing that's going to get us to the other side is faith. The only thing that's going to cause us to overcome is going to be faith. Faith in you. So, Father, I pray that people wouldn't let this go in one ear, not the other, but they'd say, you know what? I better brush up on my faith. I better get strong in the word and strong in you, Father. I pray that that would be the case for every single person. Father, for I know in my spirit that this is just the tip of the iceberg of things that we're going to see. In fact, Father, I've been preaching faith for 10 years knowing things were coming, not specifics. I don't want to say I knew the coronavirus, but I have always known tests and trials are coming. You promised it to us. And so I've been banging the drum on faith to get people prepared, and some people were just like me in school when it came to church and paying attention and getting these things in their heart, just going through the motions. And then this showed up, and some people increased during this time. Some people went further during this time, and some people lagged behind and realized, wow, I'm not where I need to be. Father, I pray that would not be the case anymore. We praise you for your precious word this morning. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. Everybody, including those watching by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is 100% yes. So how can you know, Pastor Mike? Well, I did what the Bible said to do. Which is what? Go to church? No, that's not how you get saved. Be a good person? No, that's not how you get saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the ticket into heaven. So how do I punch that ticket, Pastor Mike? Well, Jesus said there's two punches that need to be on that ticket to get you in. Number one, John 3:16. Whosoever believes will not perish. The second is Romans 10:13. If you call on his name, you'll be saved. You believe, which causes you to call or to invite him into your life. If you've never done that, it's a free gift. You're not saying you're joining this church or whatever. It's a free gift. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning in the service, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Or if you're watching and you want to be included in this, we'll give you an opportunity to receive Jesus in a second. But first and foremost, is there anyone in this room right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you've never received Jesus and you want to receive him, just slip your hand in the air. Is there anyone at all? I don't know everybody. Just slip your hand in the air and put it right back down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in here, so I trust everyone's born again. But if by chance there's someone in here or someone watching online right now, you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, it's simple. All you do is cry out to him. You say, Lord, I believe in you. You say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. If you pray that prayer and you mean it, he'll come into your heart. He'll save you. Praise God. Heaven will be yours. Eternity will be yours in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that nobody would pass from this life till they've accepted you. We give you the praise and the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you're dismissed, of course, we're going to take up our offering now since we're doing things just a little bit different. Let me instruct you. The ushers will dismiss row by row. As you walk out, there'll be a bucket on the chairs. You can drop your offering in if you're a mom or a dad. We have a gift for you. Don't forget to take that, but we ask you to go into your vehicles and to head right home for right now. Just trying to follow what's on my heart during this season. That would be a blessing. So go ahead and turn with me to Malachi 3:10. I'm going to do my best here to just make this quick. Just get out what needs to get out. Don't forget, we have service Wednesday night at 6:30. If you have not previously signed up for the Wednesday service and you decide you want to come or you have an opening to do so, by all means, come. We have room for you. We'd love to have you here. You want to be at those Wednesday night services. They will bless you. So Malachi 3 and verse 10. Here it is. Malachi 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And also, if you need prayer, go ahead and stay after and we'll make sure to pray with you. But Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. I'm so glad that there's a comma after storehouse. Because if there was just a period, then it went to verse 11, that would freak a lot of people out. Because people hear tithe, 10% storehouse, meet in my house, into the church, and they think, 10%? And they think, oh my gosh, I can't do that. How am I going to pay my bills? But there's a comma. That means God wasn't done with his thought. He's got more to say. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there'll be meat in the house of God, provision. How do you think God's keeping the house of God going? Not with a smile, remember? Not with a song and dance. And certainly not with my guitar playing. You cannot pay the bills with my singing and my guitar playing. And I know you all just hate it when I pick on myself. That's sometimes why I do it, just to hear the gasps. I'm an antagonizer, you know? I like to push buttons sometimes. And I know it just drives some of you nuts when I do it. Oh, forgive me. And it says, there may be meat in my house. Now, here's what he says. He says, prove me. Try me. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven. Now, look what it says up there. Make sure you're looking real good here. He says, if you bring the tithe, he didn't say, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. He didn't say things will get worse for you. He said, I will pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. The tithe doesn't lead to decrease. It leads to increase. Do y'all remember back, it was a few years ago, the dress? Some people looked at it and saw gold and white. Some people looked at the dress and said it's black and blue. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. What about the whole thing where you heard Yanny and Laurel? Well, when I looked at the dress, I saw black and blue because it was black and blue. Did anybody see gold and white? Anybody? Sarah saw it. You saw it too? Yeah. What were you guys looking at? It's clearly black and blue. But I know with the whole thing with Laurel and Yanny, some of us in our family heard Laurel, some of us heard Yanny. And I was thinking, what is wrong with these people? It clearly says, you know, what I thought I heard. I'm convinced that this verse is just like that dress. When I see that verse, I see, wow, the tithe leads to God blessing me big time. But others must look at it and see a gold and white dress. If I bring tithes, I'm going to struggle. That's what it says. He says, bring tithes and I'll be broke. Bring tithes and there won't be enough. I'm convinced that's supposed to be what people are seeing because people don't do it. Why in the world wouldn't you want what he said for being faithful with your money? Unless you're just seeing it wrong. The dress was black and blue, Sarah, Kiana. Yes, it was. I'm telling you, I saw it. People sit across from me in my office. They say, oh, I'm not going to be able to feed my kids. The dress is black and blue. It doesn't say you're not going to be able to feed your kids. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? You must be seeing things. Do what God says and watch what will happen to you. I dare you. I dare you, if you're not a tither, start tithing. 10%? Yes, 10%. Not your leftovers, not 3%, not what's extra after you pay your bills. Honor the Lord with your first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats will burst forth with new wine. I dare you to try it. I dare you to try it and see if God's a liar or not. Amen? Father, thank you for the opportunity to give this morning. Lord, we call it a blessing. We just declare all the needs of Family Church South Dayton are met. We're fully funded, fully supplied. All the money, all the properties, all the buildings and equipment, and all the people we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes in Jesus' name. And Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice that is a doer of the word, Father, I thank you they're going to walk into what you said they could have, increase, promotions, divine ideas, wisdom and favor financially, if they'll just obey your voice and see what you have said to do and then walk it out. Oh, thank you for the change, and thank you for the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to dismiss here in a second. Let's lift our hands and praise him before we do. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you and appreciate you. We'll see you Wednesday. You're dismissed. The ushers will dismiss you. Praise God.